Hello, everyone. Welcome to Own Your Power, an interview series about how to have your best body and create the life of your dreams. I'm your host, Kristen Kanzler, and I am so delighted to have Liana Silver with me on the call today. Liana mentors women to unlock their feminine genius. She teaches, coaches, speaks, and writes to support women to wake up your body wisdom, turn on your feminine strength, and live a brilliant life aligned with your true desires. With her work on relationship, sexuality, and feminine power, she's developed some wildly popular programs, including Man Whispering, the Inner Feminine Badass Bootcamp, and Woman, the Embodiment Experience. Her work is both provocative and powerful and has been featured in high-profile sources, including Forbes, Jezebel, and the Huffington Post. We are thrilled to have her today. Welcome, Liana.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, Kristen.
Absolutely. Well, you do such powerful work with women, teaching them how to connect to their bodies and trust their bodies. And I'm curious to know, why do women not trust their bodies? Why are we at war with our bodies?
It's the question, isn't it? I think it is safe to say that women, as a grand majority, are at war with our bodies. I think 65% of women report in America that they have an eating disorder or body dysmorphia. And
wow.
Yeah, there's an amazing Glamour magazine poll that said about 35% of women have at least one "I hate my body" thought every day, but for most, a majority, 75% and up, it's one every waking hour. So here we are. And I think this goes beyond body image. Yeah, if we think we look good or not, right? That at war with your body is the tip of the iceberg, and the iceberg means you're at war with your physical comfort. How okay is it for you to feel good and to have it good?
Mm-hmm.
It means you're at war with your sensuality, with your voice, your speaking up for what is true for you,
mm-hmm.
your needs, your desires. It also has you at war with what I call your soul's journey. Your purpose, your passion for life. It also has you at war, we'll get into this as we go, I think, your sense of belonging and your feeling of connection or not with a force that's larger or greater than you. I mean, why this happens, I think that it happens because we are taught as girls and women to live from the outside in rather than the inside out. Meaning, some feminists talk about the male gaze, the external male gaze. So if you're familiar with that term, I guess it's kind of what I'm talking about. But generally what it means is that we learn that how we're perceived, how we are seen from those outside of us or other than us, is more important than what we feel and what we know for ourselves. And this gets reinforced outright and also subtly. And that really divorces us from our own inner experience and our own inner knowing. And some of it's careless. You know, we as a culture tend to do that. But some of it is more purposeful. And this is a really potent example. So I tend to study the root of word meanings a lot. It's called etymology when I can. And
Okay. There's
a word, demon, which we all know, you know, your internal demons, or you're exercising your demons, or the doubts, or the fears, or the things that drive you to feel that are untrustworthy voices in your head. Actually, the word evolves from a different word called daemon. And daemon is your inner guidance. Daemon actually means an inner guidance. It also has roots to the word genius and genie, in the sense that Elizabeth Gilbert talks brilliantly about what the creative spark is, what the creative impulse is as it lives through humans, and that this genius is a sort of like an energy or an entity. And this is also what daemon means, which I think is really telling. It's a beautiful example.
Yeah.
So how in the world do then you learn to live from the inside out, to trust your body again, to trust your intuition, your impulses, your sensuality that have all been, you've been told are your demons, and how you spur them back into daemons?
Right. Yeah. And how do you do that?
Well, I don't mean to oversimplify this. I would say that there's three questions that we're talking about where, that really clarify the process here. It's what do you want?
Okay.
And who will you ask? And can you trust what you hear?
Wow. Okay.
So what do you want? You know, how can we start anywhere else from what you want? And this is certainly what you want for your own life and your life experience. And also, what do you want to bring into the world? What's your creative impulse? What's your the vision you have for the world? What's asking to be lived through you? And who will you ask? I mean, it's great to have advisors and trusted confidants, but most of us consult a force outside ourselves, some version of a script. And that can't be our primary source of what or whom we ask.
Right.
And can you trust what you hear? I think that one of the central questions for women is how can I tell if I think the concept of saying look within for your inner guidance is not entirely new, really. You know, we all think we can follow that. We can say that. But I think one of the central questions for women is how can I trust what I hear is not a demon, but is daemon? How do I do that?
Right.
And so, the larger question, and then I'll hand you the mic back, just this is what we're talking about on this call. How do you learn to trust your body, to decode how the body speaks to you, and use it as your compass?
Yeah, because I think so many of us, you know, we aren't versed for so many reasons in trusting ourselves, and we have all of these voices. Some are internal, some are external. They're all, you know, in our brain. They're all talking to us. And what do you trust? How do you know that you can?
Yeah. Well, should we dig in? Do you want to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
and you know, actually, I'd love to go back a little bit and just hear. How did you get into this? What is your story?
Yeah, great one. So there's so many ways that I got started as a body hater. The main way, I would say, is a body warrior. The main way is that I was a professional dancer and studied from the time I was 13. And so dance was my main career focus, main ways that my dreams showed up. And so it developed in me a real subtlety and a nuance in conversation with my body. And at the same time, dance is a funny mind screw because it's very much, you are very much successful based on how you're perceived from the outside. Did you get the steps right? Are you thin enough? Are you the right look? All that. So I was doing a number on myself of trying not to be seen because I just felt like I'm not any of those things yet. Don't see me yet. But, you know, I was a performer, so I was putting myself in the space to be seen. And I feel like one of the main messages I got from my dance training was that it was virtuous. It was the stuff of sainthood to run on fumes, to need very little, and to go further or farther for less than other people. And because I've had this idea, okay, be thinner, work harder, and I was doing all kinds of really crazy stuff that really caused breakdown in my body at a certain point, I just started to misperceive what was going on and say, oh, my body is now at odds to my dreams. So I have to double down and wage a war. I have to be more powerful and more devoted to my dreams than my body. And one of my mentors once said, when you're at war with yourself and you win, who loses? And so this is, you know, been my sense of how did I turn this around, how I learned to trust my body. And so, I had to unlearn how to live from the outside in, meaning had to learn how to live from the inside out. and look at every single belief I had about my enjoyment of my life, about my body, an understanding of what sensual energy is, how our purpose or our soul's journey communicates with us, which is through our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, one of the first things I learned, I don't think it was one of the first things, but I would say it's one of the first things I do it all backwards, of course, but if we could do it, creating a nice strong foundation, it would be how to take the raw information that comes in through a female body. This is human bodies, but women are specifically designed to do this thing. So, which is how do we take this information that comes in from sensation, from feeling, from emotion, from desire, and from intuition, and refine that and turn it into a trustable compass.
Oh, yeah.
And so this became, this is what I'm really interested in honing, because it's not just for my own satisfaction of my life, which is important, and I would want that for every woman, but also what I and each of us are bringing into the world. I feel there's a... Each woman has, I would say, a vision for a world that isn't here yet, that only she can see. And it could be a smaller scale vision or a large grand, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be clear and strong as women, not as women trying to be men, in order to have those visions come through. And that takes a whole set of practices, a whole different way of looking at the world, a different set of beliefs, a different way to work magic than it does for men. So this is kind of where I started. We can't have powerful women leaders who don't have strong inner guidance. So I start with inner guidance.
Wow. Yeah. So, you spoke to the soul's journey. I love that, because I think, we forget about that.
Yeah.
It's not always present. And it is, and it isn't, because I think when, we start to, have these habits and actions that aren't in alignment and, not feeling good in our bodies, they're sort of signals to us that, hey, you're a little off, or maybe you're a lot off. How do we come back? How do we catch ourselves and come back?
Well, this is great. I think that understanding what it is to be on, you're always on your soul journey. It's just a question of, I think, if you are aware or you're tapped into little course corrections or grand ones. And I borrow my definition of a soul's journey from my dear friend, Sarah Beek, who's a really profound and provocative writer on women's spirituality. And she's the one who introduced me to it. Beautiful concept of that the way that divine energy gets through in human form is we call it soul. Spirit is a little bit different. Spirit's a little bit more, if you will, a masculine divine essence, and soul is a little more of a feminine divine essence. And the soul requires that you be in your body, not transcending your body. It requires you be in the mess and the, in the earthy process of, it's very distinctly human. It's not rising above being human. And your soul's journey is really interested in who you are being, what you are learning, how you are expanding, what it requires of you to take the next step. It's less concerned that it looks good. It's less concerned that you get what you set out to get, even though you have more of a chance of getting that. It's just really your soul is about you embodying your truth in this lifetime. And it doesn't mind taking you on the scenic route to get you there.
Well, I love that, because, and looking at, a lot of us are used to sort of seeing things through, the masculine mindset. We're trained that way a little bit, and just sort of like retrain and see things differently.
Yeah.
Taking the scenic route, because sometimes, we think it's supposed to look a certain way. It's supposed to be linear, and it's X, Y, Z. And if our calling is taking us like over here, that doesn't necessarily make sense, then we don't really trust it. But I think it's helpful for me to see it as, just that permission to take the scenic route. And bring a little trust back.
Yes. Yeah. And you can't have a soul's journey without having a great relationship with your body. You can't have a, you can't have a deliberate one or one where you really feel in partnership. You can have one that feels that you are lost or you are forsaken or you are at war, but to have a really powerful one, there's no way to get around that except for to own your power and trust your body.
Yeah. And so what is that difference? I think we started to touch on this, but there's the voice of fear and the voice of trustable inner guidance when we have so many voices talking to us. What do we trust? What do we tap into? How do we know where to go?
Oh, this is a great question. So we'll do a little nitty gritty. I think this is one of the biggest questions for women of how can I distinguish the voice of fear from the voice of my trustable inner guidance? If I ask myself, how can I trust I'm getting a daemon, not a demon? Mm-hmm. So I am writing about this in my book currently, and I asked my husband the question just for the heck of it. We were on a drive, and he kind of didn't understand what I was talking about. He's like, that is just such a – why would you even ask the question? They're so obvious and distinct. Well, they're just, like, hugely different. And I said, yeah, there's a million reasons why that's not a question for most men. And so fear is a great voice. Sometimes you don't want to just pretend you don't have fear. Sometimes you actually want to do what the direction your fear is moving you into. But the voice of fear tends to come from a part of our being that is connected with the hind brain. It's the brain, the lizard brain, we like to call it. And that part of the brain is consumed, I guess. It's concerned with a few things. Mm-hmm. Keeping you alive, breathing, and reproducing. So when people talk about when you get into fight, flight, freeze, and I have to say there's another F with can I use colorful language or
you can bring it.
I actually think it's fight, flight, freeze, and fuck mode. And so the problem comes when you're getting information from that system. Are you getting, we'll leave the fuck aside for a moment. That's like, I'm a person. But we'll go to fight, flight, freeze, because that's the voice of fear usually. So this is very personal. Every woman will differ. What those fear voices sound like in your head, or I'm putting quotation marks around sound like, or feel like, they differ from woman to woman. And I have a way for you to find yours very specifically. I'll share it later. But here's where we get confused is partly we get confused because we mistrust everything we hear inside, or we've been taught to look outside, not inside, right? Those are all the reasons why we would be a little bit confused at this point. So we've got that fear and fight and flight come from a specific point in our system, right? And we feel them in specific ways in our bodies. Now, let me go back to intuition, trustable inner guidance. Intuition in its most simple form, it gets more complex later, but intuition and guidance comes in two forms, what you want to go toward and what you want to go away from, what you're a yes to and what you're a no to. And again, this is very specific from woman to woman, and I don't want to mislead anybody by saying this is what it feels like, because it feels different for every woman. But what usually a yes, your body's yes, has a version of expansion and opening and moving toward. That's usually a version of what your yes feels like. And a version of your no feels like a contraction or closing down or moving away from. So the place we get confused is, where is it a contraction or closing down and moving away from, that intuition? Or where is it a contraction and closing down, moving away from, that feels like fear? That's the intersection, I think, where we have the problem. Right. So, but as you look, they feel totally different. They feel absolutely, totally different in your body. And this is a process that with a little bit of awareness and a little bit of practice, every woman can really feel the difference. Usually, I'll just give a few more clues, but again, it's specific from woman to woman. A few more clues is that When you're in fear, it comes with it a sense of, I must, it's compulsive, it's addictive, there's no time. And you'll feel that, and usually, not always, but usually it happens a little bit more waist up, somewhere from your waist up. And again, I don't want to mislead anybody, but a no, that is your intuitive no, there's time. It usually is more waist down. It's usually felt more from the waist down. There is time. There is the contrast to compulsive or addictive. It just feels definite. So again, there's this, I'll tell you about it later. There's this exercise that's a free thing on my website that in less than 5 minutes will teach you how to know without a doubt in your own body, your body, yes and your no. So you'll be crystal clear on your trustable inner guidance. And then from there, it's just a question of be a little bit more aware. You will start to be able to see, oh, this is fear, and this is just my intuitive no.
Wow. Okay, yeah, because I'm like on the edge of my seat. I'm like, oh, I wonder what it's like for me, and
yes,
you know, what it might be like for other people. So I think that's brilliant. Yay, we'll get to find that out for ourselves.
Perfect. Good. Yes, yes, and it's super quick. There's no dissertation needed.
Wonderful. So you know, one of the things that I'd love for you to speak on, because you talk about a lot about like alignment and your soul's journey and being in tune with your desires and, you know, that really leading you to your vision for the world. And what is it like what's the impact when we're not listening?
Oh, great question.
Or actually, let me ask, expand that a little bit.
Yeah.
What does it feel like when we are on that path? And then what's the impact when we're not? So maybe we can get either a self-sense or an understanding of what could be going on for us.
That's great. Really great. So we'll do a little compare and contrast of what it feels like to be on your soul's journey, on your path and off. Is that your question?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Yeah. I'll skip around a little bit as I compare and contrast and talk about what we might see from a woman from outside, what she might be experiencing inside.
Okay.
So when you're on your soul's journey, meaning it's something deliberate, it's something that you are cultivating, you feel in conversation, in communion with your soul. And I define your soul as something divine in origin, that you actually feel that you are conversing with this is something that is you, but is also larger than you. You're conversing, you're asking questions, you're getting answers, you're getting nudged and pulled and pushed in certain directions.
Mm-hmm.
You are aware of what of your strengths are masculine strengths, in essence, and what of your strengths are feminine, in essence. And I would say that most women maybe trip or stumble over their feminine strengths, but we erase them as a culture, or we emphasize masculine strengths, and then we get really, really afraid of things that are feminine strengths, so it's even harder to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and these are things that outwardly seem like, what's the point? What's the point of pleasure? What's the point of following your intuition?
Mm.
What's the point of slowing down and doing less and being more? What is the point of receiving? That sounds really scary. What is the point of having sensual energy? What is the point? Like, what is the point of all this? Isn't it just better if I cross things off my to-do list?
Yeah.
So what happens, however, when we're not on the path is generally life malaise or numbness, which is bad enough as it is, but often it'll be a pretty big smack, you know, a rock bottom, a dark night of the soul, a sense of burnout. Because when we're not connected to the greater forces that want to be partnering with us, with our life, we get ill. And when we're too focused on masculine strengths, our bodies are way out of alignment and we get ill. We are anxious. We are burned out. We are overwhelmed. We're overworked. We're super moms. We are depressed. We are on medication that is probably not addressing the actual root of the symptom. We're overweight, we're underweight, yeah, all this kind of stuff. You know, I would say that a woman who feels like she's really on her journey feels, things do not work out perfectly all the time. There's pain, there is loss. Sometimes life feels really brutal, but she does not feel lost. She feels the rightness of wherever she is.
Mm.
And that, I think, is something that is really extraordinary, and that there's a sense of, I chose my life and I made a great choice. And this has nothing to do with having it look perfect or not feel really big things, or there's a sort of a sense of peace and of wholeness, and I am home. Even though life is messy and falls apart and comes together and, you know, does its thing. There's a look I can tell in a woman's eyes when she is in possession of herself. There's just a look about her where she is not apologizing for herself or for taking up space. She looks at home in her body. She looks radiant. And this could be in the middle of a heartbreak, a breakdown. It's a beautiful look. It's why I get up in the morning, you know, to help women find that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, I think, you know, not apologizing for yourself, really owning who you are and your path, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes we feel that and sometimes we don't. How can we step into that power and how can we cultivate that?
Okay, so my personal view is that the first step is to get in conversation with your body and learn the language that your body speaks in.
Okay.
And so it's my view that your soul, this divine energy that's guiding you, totally rooting for your success, totally rooting for you to love your life, speaks to you through your body. I mean, we could argue that your mind is involved. I'm totally pro-mind. I'm pro-ego. I'm pro-personality. I'm pro all of it. It's just that the voice of your body is often the quietest voice. So we need to learn how to listen to that first. So if we learn the language of our body and learn the language that your body speaks to, right? This, we're talking about how in the world do we decode sensation? And by sensation, I mean warm or hot or cold or tingly or expansive or contractive. How do we decode emotion, joy, horror, distrust? How do we decode intuition? Why, I just got this fragment of a poem or this impulse or this vision. I have a desire to create this in the world, right? How do we decode all those and use that to source the choices we make in our life?
Mm.
This is a different challenge for women than it is for men. And I'm telling you, we are on the brink of extinction, and we got to figure this out as women. We got to figure out how to bring the divine through our bodies.
Yeah.
Because it will change our world one woman at a time.
Wow.
But it's a body thing. It's a body thing. We got to do it through the body.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I love that you said earlier is when you were saying, you know, what is the point? That was so ringing true for me, because I know so many people, you know, when you look at your to-do list and then your desire list, it's like, well, I have the things to do, so you know, there's maybe guilt associated with it, and you know, what is the point? What's a different way to look at that conversation?
I think it's a great question, beautiful question. I like to think of it as what do I have to do versus what I get to do, and if I don't look at the things on my, I mean, there's some things I have to do. So you know, like, for example, when my son was little, I didn't really want to get up every 2 hours and, you know, I was sleeping. And there's some things I have to do. There's a sense that what happens when you look at the things you are doing in your life from a perspective that I get to do this, it changes your sense of who's at the wheel.
Yeah.
So what happens when you when you shift to what you desire is that mm-hmm. kind of what's on your to-do list is a bit of, it's a bit how to feed your monkey mind. It's how do I, you know, check this box off, whatever it is, the accolade or the achievement or whatever that's supposed to then have me feel lovable or peaceful or whole or acceptable or worthy or valuable in some way. And it cannot, mm-hmm. no achievement can do that except for fleetingly, but not lastingly. And so it's kind of adrenal energy. But when you're focused on when it's coming more from a desire place, it is sourced from not just what's going to plug the hole of my insecurity, it's what truly feeds me.
Mm.
And what is the specific cocktail that mm-hmm. you know that I need to have a life that feels good to me, and therefore have enough left over to you know be creative or be visionary in the world. And I think that what women don't understand, we think of ourselves as robots and slaves to the to-do list, and we forget we should think of ourselves as elite athletes, elite soul athletes. And elite athletes are like, no, I will not go out to the party because I must be asleep by 10 p.m. because my body is a performance machine. And I don't think we should uh-huh. performance machines, but there's a beauty of this is a vessel that is nourished in a certain way and alive in a certain way and running on high octane fuel. And that is very different for a woman than for a man. And so if we could think of ourselves as we are sacred vessels and these sacred vessels need to be taken care of, I think that would shift where our allegiance lies, whether it's the to-do list or what's really coming through our hearts and bodies.
Well, I love that. And what I felt in that was just like fierce self-love.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes. I think that's a lot of what it takes to really, be on this path. It's not always easy, but it's so worth it.
You know, and I think where we get confused is that we think self-love means self-boasting or self-aggrandizing, and actually self-aggrandizing or say, look at me, I'm so great, is just a cover-up job on not feeling so great about yourself. But true self-love is, why would I not want to call myself my beloved as well? We got stuff to do here. I'm awesome. You're awesome. This is just the right amount of aggrandizement. This is not false. This is not leading anyone astray.
There's one other big question, burning question I want to ask. One thing that I hear from women all the time is this, you know, that they're afraid to fail. And I think it's both exciting and terrifying to be on this path and to think that we're powerful enough to, manifest our desires and live this whole journey. What would you say to a woman who's afraid to fail?
Well, it's a beautiful question. It's a beautiful fear. So I would love to say two things that, I think that anyone who's listening to this is already on the trail of I'm willing to risk failing. I'm willing. I'm listening to this thing here that Kristen put together. I'm willing to rethink things and risk failing for a larger payoff of actually enjoying my life and my contribution to the world. And so I'm not saying that she loves failure yet, but I think there's the potential to redefine what failure is. My mentor likes to say there's no failure, only feedback. So there's a particular lens to look at failure through as a feminine lens of failure. This is something that's a whole other topic of discussion, but essentially a woman's body, the feminine and females are cyclical. We cycle. You can see it in the menstrual cycle. We are meant to go up and down. We're meant to have different levels of focus, productivity, energy, accomplishment, et cetera. We're meant to go up and down. We're meant to, I call it the death and rebirth cycle. We are meant to have times of rebirth and, you know, visions happening, and we're meant to have times of death where things lie fallow. Failure, when it's looked at as part of the laying fallow process, is purposeful. It's not an indication you're broken. It's an indication you're on your soul's journey, not off it. This is supposed to be going on. There are some things that are supposed to fall away. And
wow.
I think that, you know, as I said before, your soul is way less interested in whether you win or lose or you fail or succeed, but who you be, be in the moment, what you learn along the way, and how much are you in intimate communion with your voice and your soul through your body. And succeed, wins are awesome. We all want wins. We all want successes. It's almost sort of beside the point at a certain point. But I think it's really good. Just to say, to wrap up, I think it's so good to, if I might just say this one thing, my husband once said, check this study out. He said they compiled a bunch of different studies to find the common denominator between entrepreneurs, people who created a business they wanted for themselves, were their own bosses, and who were successful and those who weren't. And they looked at everything in these people's lives. And the only thing they could figure out that was common was their relationship to failure. And that those people who succeeded saw failure as feedback, saw failure as, oh, well, now I have way more information about how it doesn't work, so I can do it better next time. They didn't take it personally. They didn't take it as an indication that I am a failure. But they really understood its place in the cycle. And I thought that was, when I heard that, I thought, oh my, I want a great relationship with failure. I'm going to get me a great relationship with failure.
Get real intimate with failure. Well, that's beautiful to really see it as part of the cycle and see it as feedback. And I love also not taking it personally, because if we do, we can start to, you know, go down a spiral. But if we take that out and just see, oh, okay, this worked, this didn't, now what?
And I'll say really quickly, Kristen, it's not that it won't hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put your whole heart into something. You wanted it to work, and it died, or it withered on the vine, or nobody liked it. I mean, it hurts. So I don't want to sugarcoat it and say that it doesn't hurt, but somehow when it's less about a mark on you as a human being, and you really just know that this is supposed to happen. It didn't happen because you're broken in some way. Then I think that we can learn how to be with disappointment, which is a life skill we all need as well.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Liana, I know we've only scratched the surface. I feel like I could talk to you for hours. Thank you so much. And I know you're working on a book, so I don't know when that's coming out, but I know at some point down the line there will be this opportunity for people to really dive in deeper and, you know, really experience this whole world and paradigm that you're speaking to so brilliantly. And I also know you talked about this free gift. So can you share about that a little bit more?
Sure. I think the link is right here. You just click on it, and it's a free gift for you. And essentially, it has five options. The option I think that you run and you don't walk, you run, and you go start with is it's a video training. You just can watch me and do it along, and it takes about 5 minutes. And it's called How to Get Clear About What You Want. And it'll teach you the yes and no of your body. And you can stop there, but there also are other four other videos that will teach you other things about aligning with the voice of your body and the other conditions that have women flourish in a world that kind of does the opposite. So those are there for you as well. And that'll give you the option to be on my mailing list, which is just a great way to so we can stay connected, not only how this is going for you, this body trust and owning your power thing, but my book is coming out, I don't know, a year from now. That's the way these things work. So
yeah.
I'll tell you about it then.
Wonderful. Well, what a gift. So much of this conversation has been about trusting your body and what is that yes, what is that no, and how is it unique to you. So this is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that with everyone.
Oh, what a pleasure. What a beautiful conversation and wonderful to contribute to the folks that you've gathered. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. And yes, thank you all you listeners for being here. Make sure you grab Liana's gift. I know you've gotten a ton of great information and perspective from this call today. It was such a rich conversation, and Liana, joy to have you here. I am Kristen Chancellor. This is Own Your Power, and we will see you next time.